Professor Peter Lynham.
Yes, and trying to find a light way to deal with the COVID issue is a bit of a challenge, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it would be interesting to look at some of the COVID deniers who've got religious reasons, and one immediately came to mind, who's a very unlikely kind of case. And this is Cardinal Raymond Burke, who is a cardinal of the Catholic Church, an American cardinal, but seconded to various tasks in the Vatican. And he refused or declined to have a COVID injection, believing in the power of prayer, and then came down with COVID and had to be put on a ventilator. He's just been today taken off the ventilator.
Oh, okay. So he believes in science enough to...
Well, I think probably he wasn't making the decisions by the time that we reached the stage of this.
It was in God's hands, which is actually everyone else's problem.
Yes, he didn't say that he had a moral problem with the COVID vaccination,
mm-hmm.
But he did have a moral problem in that the research had been done with babies' fetuses.
It's interesting you say that. That is pretty buzzy, but there does seem to be levels to the reasons when it comes to like religious stuff. You know, everyone's kind of got their, how far in are you in?
Yes, and Raymond Burke, who has got a rather troubled history with the Catholic Church at the moment, he represents their conservative wing within the church. He's never been in schism from the church, but has consistently under Pope Francis been the leader of the critics, or one of the leaders of the critics of Pope Francis's approach, which he considers breaches canonical law at several points. So canonical law are the rules of the church, the laws of the church, and although the Pope is the supreme pontiff of the church, so in effect can make any decisions he wants to. There are some limits, and the limits are that it's got to be consistent with existing laws that the popes have in the past have approved.
Sounds like a pretty strong law. Don't muck around with baby fetuses. So.
That's a marginal one, in fact.
Like what?
Because, I mean, there's been much discussion about this, and he's not the only person to have a problem with that. But this is not to say, how does that imply that people are approving if they use the DNA from dead fetuses to develop something and to experiment as to whether something works? Why does that make you complicit in abortion, which is what he's saying? I think you can
tenuous links.
I think so. I think it's a long bow.
Yeah.
But Burke has, on a series of occasions, made quite absolute statements, which, you know, he despises wiggle room.
Do they have like expert researchers and stuff? I feel like if you're like, are we talking like Vatican zone? You know, where you've just got, before you go out and you say all these things and you've got millions of followers and all the rest of it, what kind of onus is it on them to sort of get some solid
Surely there
facts?
Must be like a vetting system before they start spouting off nonsense.
Because does he have his people kind of back there sort of typing away? Oh, look at that, I found a little thing here.
Well, hadn't he warned people that the government was potentially putting microchips into vaccines?
That is a really small chip, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we won't be there one day, but we're not there yet. Don't need to worry about that. That's
and see, Burke's general position is that,
well, the needle's real big.
Two wrongs can never make a right. And
that's classic. So, that's a classic one, though.
Yeah. So, for example, he is emphatic that, and he's preached several times, and I've sat reading his sermons this afternoon, on the fact that American political leaders who support abortion should not be given communion. They cannot be faithful Catholics and allow their vote to go forward, or even to allow their party to vote for abortion. And hence, all Democrats are in serious error and should not be given communion. That's the position he holds.
Mm.
Now, in effect, though, see, the way the Catholic Church, you ask how it works. It works as a series of interlocked committees and courts. And so people are appointed to various positions, and he's occupied some very key positions over the years, in particular in the Sacred Congregation, which defines doctrine, and in an area which is he's particularly concerned about, in the definition of the language used in the Mass, in worship, in the public worship of the Church. And he sat very firmly on the side of supporting those who want to use the traditional Mass. And he had advised Pope Benedict. And so, I mean, everything has to be only given as advice to the Pope, because the Pope is free to make up his mind on the basis of advice. But I'm pretty certain that there are tightly reasoned positions that develop in the advice that comes to the Pope.
You kind of want like an evil advisor and a good advisor, and you want them both dancing on either shoulder, just kind of what about this one? Check this out. Just mucking around on the internet, you know, in the corner, and he just grabs a little thing.
That is partly how it works. Yeah. He's also, he is in charge, for example, of the Sacred Congregation that recommends people to become saints. And when a person is proposed to be a saint, there has to be the person who's the critic, who says this person is not saintly, and prepares a brief against the case, because there'll be plenty of people arguing for the case. And this is the devil's advocate, as it's usually called.
And really? So that's quite a risky name as well.
Everyone's
thinking it. I didn't think they were going to say it.
And so that he's in charge of that process. But the present Pope has been consistently stripping him of positions of influence.
Mm.
And he made up for that by being one of the four cardinals who sent the dubia, the "we think you're wrong" letter to the Pope, which the Pope has refused to answer. So he's consistently expressed a extremely morally conservative position. He's very suspicious of trends to allow divorcees to take communion, or that's to say divorcees who've been remarried, and of any sympathy of the Church towards homosexual people. He's been very emphatic of that's totally evil. And so he takes these series of strident positions and then insists that he's loyal to the Pope, and he must be as a cardinal, otherwise he'd be stripped of his cardinal, which has happened to some people.
Has there been any word from him post being hospitalised for COVID-19?
And has he been like, is he on Twitter, and has he been banned off Twitter for saying stuff or anything like that?
No, he hasn't. Because, you know, what he says is expressed in not exactly Twitterish language. You know, he doesn't write 48 letters or whatever is the allowance now, and in Twitter he writes lengthy treatises, often in Latin, you understand. So it doesn't kind of lend itself to popularization, and there's nothing popular about Raymond Burke. He's exceedingly thorough, and that's why he's risen into high positions in the Church, because he's thorough, sharp, personable, witty. You know, he's all of those things that make him a very attractive kind of cardinal. He's not one who's anybody has any accusations of him being dodgy in relationship to priests being appointed who being transferred from other dioceses. He's clean and clear on consistent issues. But this is why, for Pope Francis, it's exceedingly difficult to re-steer the Church, because if Francis wants to move the Church into a more acceptable direction,
mm-hmm.
or to be to change in policy, he has in effect to get all of his ducks lining up. So the various committees must all produce consistent advice, and he really can't move. The only thing Francis has been able to do is show in sort of acts of mercy a generosity of spirit, but actually taking action is extraordinarily difficult in the current structure of the Vatican. And so it's a long game. You know, Francis has to outlive the cardinals or dismiss the cardinals or remove them and put his people in. And of course, at 85, he's got a limited time to do that. And so that's the challenge of moving the Catholic Church. I mean, it's surprising that in fact, Francis has got as far as he has. While there are people like Burke around, the Church is going to always be under a burden of conservatism. But I'd have to say that Burke is the only one who's refused the COVID injection that I'm aware of.
Mm-hmm. What would you expect him to say once he's recovered? God save me?
Yes, of course. That this was the
science had nothing to do with it?
And the prayers of the saints.
Mm.
Because he's called on people to pray. He is not opposed to regular medicine. He's opposed to a vaccine that's morally abhorrent. And so does he then get immunity through having had COVID? Maybe that's how he would justify it.
Sticky situation.
Interesting, though.
It is very interesting and a little bit of a disturbing reminder of a vast host of people who we find difficult to understand, who are so unwilling to consider the science.
True that.
All right, Peter Lynham, thank you very much for talking to us this evening.
And we'll let you get back to another week of lockdowns. Yes.
That's correct. We get to leave the house and come to the studio, though, which is pretty pleasant. So,
yes, that's good on you. Very good.
All right, mate, take it easy.
See you. Bye-bye.